This is ESPN Radio.
Welcome to ESPN Radio. It is Chris Canty and Mike Golic Jr. here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And this is a new day for us here. We're excited to get going with everybody here from your afternoons, 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern, where we'll be for the duration coming up here. Chris, excited to get to know you more on this one. I know you and I have worked together some in the past. You're obviously seen you around 98.7 with DiPietro and Dave Rothenberg over there doing a great job in the mornings. But excited to get into the afternoons. And I'm sure for you, nice to have a normal sleep schedule.
Absolutely. As you know, working that morning shift, man, you never get used to that time getting up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. So I ain't mad at the opportunity to do afternoon drive with you, my brother. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a beautiful thing here. We've got the reunion of O-line and D-line, a tandem that has worked well in the past in a lot of instances. Somewhere, my father is smiling very wide to see that the D-line is properly represented in this time slot here. Obviously, for those of you that have listened to this show in the past, Chinne Egwumike, no longer with us on the show, still going to be around here at ESPN, still going to be a friend of the program. We're tremendously thankful for everything that she gave to us in this time slot. Unreal teammate, unreal friend, and no doubt someone you're still going to see around here blowing up, being a star at ESPN. So do not worry. You are going to see plenty of Chinne Egwumike, hear plenty of Chinne Egwumike, who we love dearly. And I'm sure, Chris, we'll drag her back here on the show at some point here.
Oh, we have to. Absolutely have to. Yeah.
We got to get a couple of hoopers in here every now and then, because I don't know about you, I didn't play any basketball in high school. I'm not one of those guys that had that in the bio blast.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised the fact that you didn't play any high school hoops. But, I mean, offensive linemen typically are a little bit challenged when it comes to getting out there on the hardwood. So I'm not surprised, to say the least bit.
All right, we're going to start this early here. This is good. You know what? We'll get into
– I got to.
Hey, listen. That's what they expect. This is the – you know what it is? It's a loving brotherhood, because once you've been a person above 300 pounds, it's a unique fraternity. But there's always the good little bit of tension, which everybody loves here. And we got plenty of that coming up today. We're going to talk to Michael Gallup from the Dallas Cowboys as they get ready for week one on Thursday night against the defending champs. We'll also head out to Pittsburgh, talk to Brooke Pryor, our ESPN Steelers reporter, about the situation surrounding their star pass rusher. And Harry Douglas is going to join us to tell us what the hell happened to his Louisville Cardinals last night.
Ooh, that got ugly last night, man. Matt Corrales and Ole Miss offense, they were just having a field day.
Having a field day. I felt bad, Chris, because I was so excited. Harry's a great friend of ours around here, longtime pro, and he got to go back. He was an honorary captain last night for Louisville, and
they could have used him suiting up last night. That's how bad it was for Louisville.
Man,
that got ugly fast.
Got to just think about sneaking him out there at some point for a few reps. But listen, someone that the Cowboys are going to try and sneak out there, and someone that's the source of a lot of news and going to be a lot of conversation this week as we shift back to the good side of the football, Dallas Cowboys offensive guard Zach Martin recently was placed on the COVID-19 list for that team, their star all-pro offensive guard. It was today. Jerry Jones called in this morning. I believe it was on First Take, the Dallas Cowboys owner. And this is when he mentioned something that I was not ready to hear, Chris. He was optimistic about the fact that Zach Martin could actually still potentially play on Thursday night.
I'm still the guy that want him. He's going to be testing right up until game time, and maybe we can get a couple of negative tests out of him. He can get two negatives over the next couple of days, then he could play. Don't hold out for that. So, I'm always looking for that pony in there somewhere. He's arguably the best player. Best of what? The best player. And you go in a game against the world champions, not have your best man there, that's a setback.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Be a part of Canty and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. That's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. So, Chris, a couple of thoughts with this one, but when you heard that, how likely do you think this is now that we could get a guy going from COVID positive to potentially playing on Thursday night football to opening the season?
Mike, I don't think it's very likely at all. I mean, Jerry Jones is living in his own world when he's holding out hope that Zach Martin's going to take the field when they kick off on Thursday night. I mean, listening to the reports from Jeff Darlington and others, I mean, it's clear that Zach Martin is still dealing with symptoms from COVID-19. He has yet to pass those consecutive COVID-negative tests in a matter of 24 hours. So I'm just assuming that we're not going to see Zach Martin. Everybody was reporting that he's not going to be out. And so for Jerry Jones to be holding out hope, and now listening to some of the commentary coming from Mike McCarthy that Zach Martin hasn't been ruled out yet. I just feel like they're living in a little bit of a fantasy land when it comes to trying to put together a game plan to go out there and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and you can understand why they'd want to hold out hope. Jerry Jones was not being hyperfluous when he said, this is the guy that is probably the best player on our offense. Like, excuse me, not being hyperbolic. This is probably the best player on our offense. But, Chris, what's that do to the rest of a team, the rest of a unit, when you're trying to get ready on a short week for the first game of the season?
Well, I think from a confidence standpoint, you worry a little bit about, you know, what Zach Martin being there or being out might do to this team in terms of them getting in the right mindset to go out there and compete at a really high level. I mean, when you're practicing, when you're taking those reps trying to get ready for the week and you're game planning and you've got guys stepping in and playing that right guard spot other than Zach Martin, I think that that's something that everybody on that offensive line unit and that offense as a whole kind of get used to. But when you kind of inject Zach Martin and the possibility of him being able to put on a cape and go out there and play, I just feel like you're almost setting your guys up for failure. You're almost setting them up for a letdown. And that's the one thing that I think players have to guard against when you do have a star player that's going to potentially miss the game. So I just feel like it serves everyone better if Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy take the stance that Zach Martin isn't going to play. And if it just so happens that right at game time he's available, then you'll deal with that as it comes. But as of right now, when you're preparing for it, I just feel like you need to go ahead and kind of put Zach Martin off to the side and go ahead and plan as if he's not going to be there, because right now that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah, that clarity is probably the most important thing in this, right? If you're a guy that's going to be stepping in his place, there's a difference in your mind of, all right, we're going to get bailed out, we're going to get the guy that we can all depend on back in that spot, versus, all right, I know everyone says I go out here and I prepare like a starter every week, but it's different when you don't believe you've got that backstop there that's ready to help you. So for the Cowboys in that aspect, putting some clarity into the picture for the rest of that team, because, I mean, Chris, you've still got Zeke Elliott trying to come back off a bounce-back year, a defense that we have a lot of question marks about, and on offense, we're not 100% sure Dak Prescott's fully healthy at this point. Coming off the ankle surgery and been dealing with this lat strain throughout the majority of camp here, I feel like with the picture as messy as this, as clear as you can make it before that, you owe it to your football team if you're Mike McCarthy.
Oh, no doubt, Mike. And you know this. I mean, that offensive line with Zach Martin, how they would have to protect, is completely different than with him out of the lineup. And so I think just kind of that ambiguity makes it tough for everybody that's a part of that offense to get prepared and to understand what their role is going to be in terms of their team having the best chance to be successful when they kick off on Thursday night. So I guess for me, that's what it comes down to, right? I feel like Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy are doing this team a little bit of a disservice, because you do have a lot of moving pieces. Like, Dak Prescott didn't have the preseason that everybody with that Cowboys organization envisioned. They wanted him to actually get some live game reps in the preseason so he can get past that final mental hurdle as it comes to getting past that ankle injury. Zeke Elliott obviously wasn't going to play in the preseason, but just him understanding his role when it comes to what he's going to have to do, what the running game is going to be with Zach Martin versus without Zach Martin. So, again, Zach Martin is the best player, and I understand why there's conversation around his potential absence, but I don't think that that's something that the Cowboys should be focused on. I think that's up to the media and the fan base to be speculating about. Again, I go back to the owner and the head coach have to be a part of setting the agenda for this team. And right now, I think they're doing them a disservice.
They are. I will say, you mentioned the fans, people on the outside rooting for this, watching this. I'll tell you one other group that's probably got to be paying very close attention and hoping Zach Martin can get out there in the way Jerry described, testing out of it, because that would indicate to a lot of us Zach Martin is fully vaccinated. Now, I don't know that I haven't heard that for sure, but again, those policies in place expedite the return to play for vaccinated players. If you're the NFL and you want to continue to show the minority of players that have not received that shot yet, that you've been trying to make clear with policy is important to you, having proof of concept like that of, hey, this guy would have been out were it not for being vaccinated, these policies we have in place, if he managed to get back out there for Thursday, that would be great proof of concept for the NFL on that front. So there's a lot to pay attention to there, and I'm sure we'll all be waiting with bated breath, because it's the Cowboys going up against Tom Brady and the world champs on Thursday Night Football. But coming up next, want to get to one of the new trends that's starting to sweep the NFL and may already be paying huge results for some stars. We'll get to that next here. Chris Canty and Mike Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Super Bowl champion Chris Canty. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and we'll talk to Brooke Pryor in about an hour here, our ESPN Steelers reporter. Because, Chris, I didn't realize that this had been happening around the NFL. When you look out in Seattle, Dwayne Brown, their left tackle, got paid today. They restructured some things in his contract after a hold in. And TJ Watt now, I heard this coined by Jeff Darlington when he was talking earlier on Get Up, I believe, that TJ Watt, the star edge rusher for the Pittsburgh Steelers, hadn't been holding out. These guys have been showing up to training camp and just saying, yeah, you know, I'll do some individuals. I'll go out here and warm up, but I'm not doing any of this team stuff where I might get hurt, because he's in search of that new contract and he doesn't want to get those fines away there. Pretty heads up play by these guys, I must say.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had no choice, right? The NFL addressed it in the last collective bargaining agreement where teams can't forgive the fines that accrue from guys holding out of training camp. So these guys had to show up. It's really like they had no choice. And so we've seen Dwayne Brown do it. TJ Watt did it. Jamal Adams was actually doing it before they went ahead and paid him his $17.5 million a year on a contract extension. So, I mean, guys are wising up to how they have to kind of, you know, take a different tact in terms of trying to leverage the team into getting them their money. But, I mean, ultimately what it comes down to is this, Mike. Like, the only way a player can create leverage against the team is by being willing to withhold services. And when it comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, we know that they like to do business a certain way. They don't like to deal with contracts in season with guys. Like, they want to address the contract with the guys in the offseason before the regular season kicks off. And so now it feels like we're getting a little bit to that 11th hour where they've got to make a decision on what they're going to do with TJ Watt. But it seems like the two camps are dug in.
They do seem pretty dug in, to the point where people were calling into question, would we see TJ Watt in week one? Because, oh, by the way, they play the Buffalo Bills that are going to come out with that high-flying offense.
Yeah, that's a problem. You might want to have that guy around when Josh Allen is in town.
Might be a decent showing here, but that is added leverage for TJ Watt, for a team that's already trying to kind of climb out of this perception that they bottomed out at the end of last year and their quarterback doesn't have it on offense. They limp into this a little bit defensively. Stephon Tuitt was on IR to start the season. So, Chris, when you look at this situation, ultimately, do you think this gets done before we kick off on Sunday?
Well, it has to get done. I mean, TJ Watt is the Steelers' best player on defense. I know Minkah Fitzpatrick has a case to be made. So does Cam Hayward. But, I mean, in terms of being a pressure player, in terms of making game-changing plays, I mean, the guy is TJ Watt. I mean, he led the league in pressures, quarterback knockdowns, and sacks. So, I mean, it helped to have that guy around to go against that Buffalo Bills offense. As you mentioned, one of the best offenses in the National Football League last year. I think it was a top three offense. And you're talking about Josh Allen being a lot of people's leading candidate and favorite for MVP. So you want to have somebody that can affect the quarterback in that way. And TJ Watt is that guy. So to me, like, you have to be able to find a way to be able to get this done. If you're the Steelers, you know it's not going to be cheap. I mean, it's going to be in that Myles Garrett, Joey Bosa territory. But, I mean, for the player that you're getting, it makes all the sense in the world to be able to get this done. Keeping in mind that your defense is the strength of your team, the identity of your team. That offense has a lot of questions with the offensive line, with Ben Roethlisberger, you know, the running game. The defense is the one thing that the Steelers have been able to hang their hat on in recent years. And to not have TJ Watt, that would be a huge piece missing.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And you mentioned the price tag that comes with that huge piece. Joey Bosa right now, the top of the edge rusher market here, with $78 million fully guaranteed. That's a different ballgame right there.
That's a lot. A lot of cash.
It hurts so good. And it's worth noting because they got Cam Hayward, their star defensive tackle, signed last year, Monday of week one of the season. The money it took for that and the money it's going to take for this are very different. And for the Steelers, you mentioned not wanting to get deals done in the regular season. They're also not in the business of guaranteeing money beyond the signing bonus here. Ben Roethlisberger got guaranteed $37.5 million in his April 2019 extension. That's the most money they've ever guaranteed in a signing bonus. So, Chris, you know this. Anytime we get up to these deals that are going to reset the market, reset the record, what's every agent and player looking for? Some way to say, I am the most blank ever or the top blank ever. So it feels like they're going to have to get extra creative here unless the Steelers are going to join everyone else in 2021 and say, we got to update some of this.
Yeah, the Steelers might have to switch up how they do business. Like, I get outside of the quarterback, them not wanting to guarantee money beyond year two of a contract. But when it comes to TJ Watt, I mean, he plays a premium position in the NFL. Like, if you were going to power rank him, Mike, you're talking about quarterback, You're talking about pass rusher, left tackle, and corner. I mean, those are the top four positions, and T.J. Watt plays one of those positions. So you don't want to have to go without having this guy on the field, and you don't want to have to worry about not being able to have this guy long term. Like, he's done everything the right way since he showed up in Pittsburgh. You know the pedigree. You know the family. It just seems like this is one of those where you're willing to make an exception on how you do business just because there really aren't any questions when it comes to what you're getting in return. So to me, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world for Pittsburgh to be able to get this done, put this distraction behind the player and the team, so you can be about the business of trying to go out and win your division in 2021.
I can't help but notice the petty that got sprinkled in all of this. The T.J. Watt wasn't named a captain for the defense this year. That just felt unnecessary, man.
Just a little bit, man. But you know that's where the Steelers are at with it, man. We saw how petty this organization was, how petty that locker room was with the Le'Veon Bell holdout. So this isn't something that should surprise you.
It isn't something that's surprising. We do know how this organization gets down. And again, we'll talk to Brooke Pryor, who covers this team, on what we heard from Mike Tomlin on this subject, because he was pretty frank with how he views this heading into week one for a team that loves them some on-field practice time. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Coming up next, though, we mentioned Chris is a Super Bowl champion with the Giants, also a proud alum of Virginia. So we got to head back to his conference to see what the hell's going on this weekend, because some things have gotten entirely out of hand, entirely too soon in the Atlantic Coast Conference. We will get to that after this word from 5-Hour Energy. Now, football season is here, and there's lots of college and pro games to watch. Grab a 5-Hour Energy drink so you can stay alert to watch all your favorite games. And try the 5-Hour Energy Extra Strength Cherry flavor. The taste is unbelievable. You're going to love it. All you got to do, go to 5hourenergy.com today. Find over 15 flavors to choose from. With flavors like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack. But if you're out and about, remember you can always pick up a 5-Hour Energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. That's everywhere. Back after this to watch one team tumble in the rankings after 1 week, next on ESPN Radio. It hasn't taken long. I've already found out how Chris Canty gets down around here, because we've been bumping back a lot of new music coming out lately. And Chris let him know right off the rip here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, that it is Donda greater than sign, certified lover boy. And Chris, it doesn't sound like it's all that close for you.
No, it's not all that close. Now, no shade to CLB. I mean, it's a Drake album. There's going to be some ones that out there that go. But I mean, ultimately, when you start thinking about the production quality and just Kanye trying to push himself beyond where we've seen him before, like, I just feel like you got to give the nod to Donda.
I'd agree. And everyone wants to talk about the rollout for Drake, putting a bunch of billboards up with Instagram quotes that people are going to use later on. Kanye had 3 sold-out shows that streamed on Apple Music, and one included a dirt track full of cars and people running around. Like, Cliff, back me up on this one. That was insane.
Was crazy.
It was insane, but at the same time, like, I think Donda just had more music to select from. That's why Chris is saying Donda was better, which makes sense, right? Like, I mean, Certified Lover Boy was cool, but it's like an 8 out of 20. I don't know if that's Drake-level expectations.
It is like every other Drake album, though, Chris. Like, that's the one thing is, you know what you're going to get, which is good. Like, I like walking into a lot of restaurants. Every time I go to Chili's in the airport, I know I'm going to get skillet queso. I feel good about that. Doesn't mean it's necessarily the best thing on the menu.
Yeah, I just wanted a new sound. Like, I was just listening to the evolution of the artist, right? And you're getting that with Kanye on the Donda album. Like, you heard it in Hurricane. You heard it in Pure Souls. You heard it in Jail. I don't know that you necessarily had any of those tracks on CLB where you got anything different from Drake. And it's not as good as we've heard from Drake in the past when you start talking about the best albums that came from him.
At Mike Golic Jr., at Chris Candy 99, if you got any issues with it, on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. You can also always get at us, 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. And Chris, in college football over this weekend, I already saw a lot of college team social media departments working Drake lyrics into their stuff. And a lot of them needed to probably go back to like the Marvin's Room Drake, because man alive, there were some ugly week one losses. Chris, when you look back over this weekend here, we know we're going to get to some of the banner performances, but there were also some people that dropped games that might take a while to recover from. Who had the toughest opening weekend loss in your mind?
To me, it was Clemson, Mike. And it starts with the expectations that we have for that team coming into the season, right? Like, this is supposed to be a team that's contending to be in the college football playoff. That should be, from a talent standpoint, right there with Alabama. And it just didn't look like that on Saturday night in Charlotte against Georgia. I mean, that offense was awful. Big Cinco looked like Big Stinko. And that offensive line, especially the guys on the right side of that offensive line, I mean, they just took turns being turnstiles, letting defenders from Georgia take shots at DJU. So, I mean, I'm disappointed in the performance that we got from Clemson. They should have went out there and offensively been a lot better than what we saw.
They should have been. And this was the marquee matchup of the weekend. We had spent weeks, months building this up as one of the best college football games we were going to see all year. Now, it's worth noting in this one, Georgia didn't score an offensive touchdown either in this game. The only 6 points put on the board came from a defensive touchdown. But now you got, in the latest round of the AP poll, Georgia moves up to number 2, and Clemson moves all the way down to number 6. They are now ranked outside of the AP top 5 for the first time in 57 consecutive weeks, the second longest streak in college football history, behind, surprise, surprise, Alabama. And our own Heather Dinich, ESPN college football writer, was talking on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max earlier this morning on ESPN Radio about what this means for Clemson's playoff path now.
No team has lost their season opener and made the college football playoff since this thing began in 2014. It's a big deal. It's significant, okay? And not only was Clemson hurt by the way they played and how they lost, but they were also hurt, guys, by Miami losing and North Carolina losing. Why? Because, as I heard you guys mention before, they have no other ranked opponents in the regular season. They need a ranked opponent to face in the ACC championship game, assuming they get there, because they've got one more shot to impress the selection committee based on this schedule. That's it. And right now, Miami and North Carolina aren't looking that great. So I certainly would not rubber stamp a one-loss ACC champ Clemson this year.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And Chris, it's way too early for me to say somebody's got no chance of making the playoff, especially when it's someone of Clemson's caliber. But I would say this, they have lost it being in their control now, right? Like, they got to win out and they got to hope and start doing some schedule watching.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? They don't control their own destiny. They're going to need somebody to step up in conference to be there at the end to actually give them a game that could kind of prop their resume up. And I just don't see that right now when you look at the landscape of the ACC. So, I mean, it's going to be tough for Clemson. I'm with you in terms of it being too early to try to rule this team out. I mean, if you do take a loss based on how we've seen things set up in the college football playoff, you want that loss to be earlier in the season as opposed to later. So, I mean, when it comes to that part of it, it's no harm, no foul, especially when you consider playing against another top five opponent. But, I mean, just the way that they lost, and then you see what's going on with the rest of the conference, I mean, it feels like it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle for Clemson to get to where we all expected them to be coming into this season.
And Chris, you know this as well as the rest of us. This opening weekend, these out-of-conference matchups early in the season, they go a long way in shaping the way we view these conferences overall.
Yeah.
And for a conference in the ACC that has felt like Clemson and for a while now, that North Carolina loss to me might be the worst of the weekend just because you finally had another team. Mac Brown was stacking good recruiting classes. You got Sam Howell, who's a bona fide NFL prospect, a quarterback, and they just look so flat. Like, I know it's within the conference, so Virginia Tech could in theory scoop up some of that, but North Carolina came in with the requisite hype to be something out of the Coastal that could have been a foil to Clemson, and now you're just looking around wondering what's going to be up. Like, Chris, for the folks that started that alliance, the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12, their worst nightmare might be coming true as Georgia and Alabama sit there at 2-1 respectively in the AP rankings.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the SEC, no matter what, is going to have two teams in the college football playoff. It feels like it's trending that direction. But, I mean, I look at what North Carolina did and losing to Virginia Tech, and you know, there really is no excuse for something like that happening. I do understand that North Carolina lost a lot of firepower on the offensive side of the ball at their skill positions. I mean, Michael Carter and Javonte Williams, that 1-2 punch monster that they had in the backfield, those guys are in the NFL now. So Sam Howell is having to shoulder a lot more of the burden in terms of playmaking with that offense. So that's going to be a work in progress. But still, losing to Virginia Tech out of the gates, that's not going to be something that helps your resume, that helps your case to try to make a push and win this conference and be in that conversation for title contenders. So, yeah, I just look at the ACC overall. It's not looking good for them being able to get somebody into the college football playoff. They're going to need a lot of help right now.
And listen, I know we're all high on Georgia right now. If that wide receiver room doesn't get healthier, there's a slim margin for error there because there wasn't a lot of points getting put up on the board with the weapons that they've got currently in that room. So a lot that's still going to happen. It's only week one in college football. But coming up next, it is week one in the NFL. One of the biggest questions all offseason has been, how healthy is Dak Prescott? What does he look like? We'll talk to someone who sees him in the locker room every day, see if we can get some answers. Next, here on ESPN Radio. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We're hoping to talk to Cowboys wide receiver Michael Gallup. Chris, part of what could be one of the best receiving corps in the entire league this year between him, Amari Cooper, the rest of the guys they've got out there. And they're going to need it because I feel like when we look at that group, we've got answers. When we look at the rest of the Cowboys, there's still a hell of a lot of questions at this point.
No question about it. But, I mean, getting back to that wide receiver trio, you got three guys that can go for a stack easy. It just depends on whether or not the offensive line and the run game are going to be able to give them some balance. But, I mean, in terms of the overall talent, there's no question what those guys are bringing to the table. Each one of them can do a little bit of everything. And so I just want to see those guys being able to stay healthy along with Dak Prescott for a full season and see what this group is capable of becoming.
And hopefully we'll get to talk to Michael here in just a second. And Chris, part of what everyone's certainly interested in is, how is Dak look? We've seen a bunch of him on Hard Knocks. We know he's been recovering from the ankle surgery before he got paid this offseason, from the shoulder stuff that he's been dealing with in training camp here. But leadership styles are always interesting in the NFL, Chris. And I'm curious from your standpoint, because with Dak, I mean, such an in-your-face, in-front leader. I remember one of his old coordinators from college saying they would huddle their offense just because he wanted Dak to be able to look all 10 other guys in the eye before every series. For you, Mina Kimes just did an article about the Chargers quarterback, whose name is escaping me, or Justin Herbert, did an article about him being an introvert, having a different leadership style. You played with Eli Manning in New York, a guy who Justin Herbert referenced as someone he studied, whose leadership he looked at here. What was he like behind the scenes in a locker room? How does that, a different way of going about leading a team, kind of affect the rest of the group?
Well, here's the thing. Eli was never a rah-rah guy. He was more of a lead-by-example type of personality. But the thing is, he was consistent. Like, he showed up every single day. He was, you know how the cliche goes, Mike, in football. First one in the building, last one to leave the building. That was Eli Manning. Even on off days, he would be there. So, I mean, I think from Justin Herbert's perspective, that there's something to be said for a young guy kind of taking that approach to it and allowing the veteran leaders that are already there to be the ones to have to grab the team by the throat. But, I mean, as you go along, as you gain more experience, and let's face it, as you make more plays, you get more respect in the locker room and people begin to allow you to have that voice in terms of being able to speak up. But, I mean, as far as leadership goes, I mean, Dak Prescott is right up there with the best of them in terms of leadership intangibles. So being able to have him back healthy for an entire season is going to make a huge difference for this Cowboys team. Not just the production on the field, but just in terms of being able to set the tone and set the agenda for this team when it comes to how they go about their business day in, day out, week in, and week out. I think that's one of the things that can get away from a team really quickly, especially a team that's in the spot like the Dallas Cowboys. Mike, you know I played down there for 4 years. I know there can be a lot of things that can serve as distractions. And so being able to have that guy at the quarterback spot that could provide that level of leadership, what we've seen from Dak Prescott, I think it's going to be huge for this team based on the expectations that we have for him coming in this year.
Canty and Golic Jr., for more on what's going on inside that Cowboys locker room, we're heading to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to one of their star wide receivers. Michael Gallup joins us now here on the show. Michael, we appreciate you giving us some time today, man. How you doing? And it appears that we may not have Michael at this point here. We're hoping to make sure we get him connected here in the ways that we need, because we'd like to hear what's going on inside that locker room.
Absolutely.
With him and Dak Prescott. Chris, looking at this team as presently constructed, easy favorites for you? I know you worked at 98.7 in New York. Obviously, the background with the Giants here as you've looked at this division, and you guys have talked about this division in the mornings here. Who have you guys had lined up at first place? Is it easily the Cowboys division, or do we have Michael with us now? All right, cool. I can stop asking that weird question. I was taking too long to get through here. Michael, we got you?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right, beautiful. Michael Gallup, wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, with us now on the Goodyear Hotline. First and foremost, man, we know you guys just got done with Hard Knocks. What was that experience like for everyone in the locker room?
It was definitely different. At the same time, it was pretty cool, though. But, you know, being a Dallas Cowboy, I mean, you got cameras following you everywhere. But you're on high alert when Hard Knocks is walking around, making sure you're not saying anything too crazy. But it was definitely a fun experience.
Michael, everybody wants to know where Dak Prescott is at. I know it hasn't been too much time since he's been a full participant in practice. They've had to kind of manage the volume, the amount of reps that he's got throughout the preseason. What have you seen from practice, and how do you feel about your quarterback going into that Thursday night's game against Tampa?
I mean, honestly, Dak hasn't missed a beat. When he comes in there and he gets to have that full practice, you know, he's still our leader. He's respected by everybody in this organization. We're excited to have him back. And he's doing exactly what, you know, we know he can do. And coming in there and being just the general of the team, making sure everybody's upbeat and ready for this game.
Talking to Michael Gallup from the Dallas Cowboys on the Goodyear Hotline. Zach Martin, your guy's starting offensive guard, on the COVID-19 list. Jerry Jones goes on First Take yesterday, says he hopes that he could still be eligible to play in Thursday's game. What does Zach mean to your guy's team being out there?
We definitely hope that Zach can make it out there. But if he can't, then, you know, somebody's going to have to step up for the team. That's just how this, you know, COVID situation has worked. That's how football works in general, though. Somebody goes down, somebody's got to be able to fill those shoes. But, hopefully he can come back. If not, we're just going to have to ride with what we got.
Michael, I know you're here doing this interview on behalf of Sleep Number. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, yeah. Sleep Number, great partnership, great thing to be a part of. A lot of folks don't, you know, take into consideration how much, you know, sleep goes into playing a full season in the NFL, just being a professional in general. Sleep is a big aspect of that. And what Sleep Number does with all their players, all their athletes, they just do a great job of making sure that you can figure out what your sleep patterns are, how much you're sleeping throughout the night, if you need to change anything up. And, you know, just having the app to yourself to go in and look in on your own, it's a big up for, you know, athletes nowadays. So I'm definitely grateful to have Sleep Number behind me and looking forward to the future with.
Listen, as two guys who used to on this show do morning radio, we're all big fans of sleep around here. So nice to see you're getting some good stuff there. Michael, we appreciate you giving us some time. Best of luck on Thursday and with the season. Hopefully we'll talk to you down the road.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Awesome stuff from Cowboys wide receiver Michael Gallup. I mean, Chris, we might be getting to look at night one, the two best receiving corps pound for pound in the NFL with them in the Bucs.
I mean, they're right there. I mean, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown. I mean, they got a lot of weapons down there in Tampa, too. And we already mentioned Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and and Michael Gallup. I mean, this is going to be some fireworks in this game on Thursday night. No question about it. It won't be like what we saw on Saturday between Georgia and Clemson. There'll be a lot of offense. And I'm looking forward to it. The NFL couldn't ask for a better matchup in week one of the regular season to kick it off.
It's going to be incredible. We mentioned Zach Martin on the COVID list almost the same day Ndamukong Suh gets taken off the COVID list for Tampa. Not the kind of thing you want to see if you are a fan of the Cowboys. But coming up next, if you're a Giants fan, we'll give you exactly what you've wanted to see for a while and why it maybe shouldn't happen still next.